Thank you. bit about Jesus being the parson. When it's time to go, there are a few things, maybe we should say a number of things, that must be set in order, or a number of things to do to get our affairs in order. Even leaving this place, this church, too often I get a mile down the road or more than a mile, and I will say, did I put everything in order? Did I turn off that thing? Did I make sure that that stove was off? Did I do this? Did I lock that door? Did I check the back door? But it happens to you, does it not? Colorado last week, there were some things you had to do. And probably you got in the air and you thought, oh my goodness, did we really do it? The big one at my house, as I was growing up, did we turn the iron on? Because I think we always had to iron something just before we left. Now we just go ahead and wear it anyway. We don't even get the iron out. And that's kind of true, partially true. Even before coming to church this morning, there were things that you had to get in order. Coffee pot off if you had it on, et cetera. Right? And coming here from Indonesia, they had some things that you had to get in order before you got here. Or when you go to Florida for the winter, even when you leave Florida back in the spring, you have to get some things in order. And if you don't, really, things might happen. Things might happen. So many people, I'm afraid, leave this world without their affairs in order. And having preached funerals for 40 years plus, I agonize over those funerals where it appears, and all I can say, where it appears that the person, the deceased, has not put things in order before their departure. In our scripture, the lesson, we find Jesus just about ready to leave this earth. He's going home. He's going back to heaven. And even back in the 13th chapter of John. We read from the 17th. But in the 13th chapter of John, and it's something, I believe verse 31 through 33, he tells the disciples, or he starts preparing them for his departure. Judas was present with Jesus and the other disciples, and Judas left. And it's when Judas had gone, or when he was gone, Jesus says to the disciples, the rest of them, the 11, that the Son of Man, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And he goes on and says, if God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. And then, verse 33, Jesus says, my children, that's how he refers to his disciples, his students, I will be with you only a little longer. I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Now, they couldn't come then. There was a time when they could go also. John 14, he talks about departing with things not in order. Jesus went to heaven. He get things in order for our entrance there, for our departure. And so he has done his part. He has done what he needs to do to get things in heaven ready for us to come. And there are things we have to get in order before we leave home, our affairs put in order. There are things that those who welcome us to wherever it is we're going do to be ready for us to get to our destination. Our destination being heaven, Jesus went and prepared this place for us. And at funerals, we often read this passage. Jesus, John 14, Jesus told the disciples he was going to prepare a place for them. And we know this to be a message for us. He has gone to prepare a place for us. So what he was, the reason I point that out this time is that John 14, 13, Jesus said, I'm going to be here a little while. And then he began to build on that, to prepare the disciples for his departure. He said, I'm going away. I'm going. Why am I going? I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's where I am, where Jesus is, we may come also. John chapter 15, Jesus says, while I'm gone, you still need to stay connected with me. And John 16, he speaks of the Holy Spirit, himself returning to earth in the form of the Spirit, not limited by space and time, as a physical body, especially space, being in all places at all times, ever present. So he told them that he would send his Spirit back to which they could stay connected. And we can stay connected. Can. Promise the Holy Spirit. And then we get to John 17. And that is his prayer. That he prayed. Jesus' prayer. The prayer that Jesus prayed as part of his getting things in order. He kind of warned them, he had to talk to the Heavenly Father. He had to talk to the Heavenly Father, or chose to talk to the Heavenly Father about his entering into heaven, his glory, but he did not just think of himself. He was praying about those that he had spent 3 years at least training, preparing to carry on his work. So verse 1 through 5 of chapter 17 of John, and if he prayed, or he talked to God, the Father, he talked to him about his work on earth, about the work being finished, and he was returning to heaven. Verse 6 through 19, he prayed about the disciples, his training, if you will, his workmen, his servants, that he said he is no longer called servant, though he is now called friend. And then in verse 20 through verse 26, he prayed about all believers. He prayed about us. He prayed concerning our coming to know God the Father through the witness of the disciples he had been, as they witnessed about Jesus. So he prayed even for us there as he was preparing or setting things in order. He prayed for those who would believe the testimony of the apostles, the testimony about Jesus, and how Jesus was, Jesus is, the way to the Father. So he prayed for you, and he prayed for me. Today, or for the rest of today, I want us to focus on verses 6 through 19. we can. Verses 6 through 19 of John chapter 17. And I've had a little throat problem all week. And excuse me, I do have some peppermint I may be eating, and they seem to help. You may not want to shake hands with me. I will force you to. Please, please. It's a prayer. Jesus is praying. But it may also be seen as a discourse, if you will. Or as you read it, it might easily be interpreted as, or observed as, maybe that's a better word, just a discourse. Those things that he was talking to the Father about, but Jesus put it in the form of a prayer. Maybe you talk about somebody leading in prayer, and sometimes the person who is leading in prayer, nobody follows. But public prayer is for people to follow the leader, the person who is offering the prayer. And when I'm in a congregation of people and somebody is leading in prayer, it could be three or four, it could be just one other person, or it could be a thousand, or it could be this size group, the person leading in prayer, I try to follow along with them in agreement. And God said, God's word said, Jesus said, if we agree, two or three of us agree in prayer, which is according to his will, he will grant it. Got more than one making a request and needing some help. Sometimes God also responds to our individual prayer, but what do we do often? We call somebody else and say, will you pray with me? We need your prayers also. And there's testimony and testimony and testimony of people who have had miracles. A group of people who offer their prayers. But anyhow, this prayer, if we could overhear Jesus pray, it might be helpful. Or as we read it, it might be real helpful. Might be, well, that's too far. Just a little bit better. It is really helpful to see what Jesus asked about that. So basically, I don't know what to pray when I pray. How do you pray? Even some Christians will say that. Well, we got the Lord's Prayer. We call it the model prayer. But we got John chapter 17 also. In this prayer, in verse 6, Jesus talks to the Father, God the Father, about the fact that God gave these disciples close to Jesus. Think about it. God called preachers. God pointed these people out to Jesus. And Jesus went by them, personally to them, and called them to come and learn of him. Become his student. Because he had a great job for them to do. He had a message to carry to the rest of the world. And he needed some people to get it started. He needed some people to promote that message, proclaim that message. So God gave the 12. Even one was a traitor, but he gave the 12 to Jesus. And what Jesus talked about, Jesus acknowledged that they were given him by God himself. Read it. He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Every people out here in the world, a tax collector, a fisher person, what did the rest of them do? We're not sure what they all did. became very loving. Because Jesus revealed to them, or showed to them, what God is like. I have revealed you. Jesus showed God to those whom God had given him. God gave them out of the world, chose people just out of the world, and blessed them. God called them out of the world. They were yours. And you gave them to them, and they have obeyed your word. So he proclaimed God's word to them. Like, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said that to them, and they went and followed. Them through those years about God. Godly things. They may have known a few things, but he led them into the deep thought of God, if you will. The second thing, he also prayed about how he gave the word to them. Let's read. And this is kind of a repeat of just what I said. He gave them the disciples, and God gave the disciples and Jesus gave God's word to them. Start at verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. So they know, they understood that Jesus wasn't just dreaming up good thoughts to pass on to them. But he was speaking for God, being God. He was speaking for God. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty, that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. They trusted that he was the one sent from God. Those that didn't accept Jesus as being the one sent from God were the ones that killed him. Tell me what he's talking about. Who does he think he is? Blasphemy, blasphemy, they said about his word. At least 11 of them said, yes, he is the one sent from God. And Jesus talked to God the Father about it. God, I've been here on this earth for these 3 years or 30 years, but I've been in this ministry that you called me into, that I was sent here to do, but so I launched out in it. Been in it for 3 years. I'm about to come to you, and you just want to talk about it. That God had given him. And how they have taken his word, God's word, that God gave to Jesus, and Jesus passed it on to them. And then, also in verse 6 through 8, he says that they believe, or they receive the word, they believe the word, and they kept the word. Now there's a sermon out there within itself. They received it, they believed it, and they kept it. And what's the difference? Yeah, one thing is to receive it. And the second step is to, yeah, this is the truth. They accepted what Jesus said as the truth. They received it, they believed it, and then they kept it. For the second thing, they follow. Are they having their life after? Or another way, sounds kind of negative in some people think it, but it's really not. They obeyed the word. They believed it, received it, they believed it, and they kept it. One thing to receive it, but do nothing with it. Fold it up, put it on the shelf. I've got a lot of books that I have received. they're still on the shelf. So if I haven't read them, I can't believe it. I don't know what to say. I'm getting around to it one day when I have more time. Sometimes we read it or hear it, then we'll say, nah, that's not the way it is. But when Jesus spoke, the disciples said, yes, we believe what you're saying. We will act on it. So they kept. They believed it. Really, the way we can try to show that we really believe is to act on it, or to keep it, or to obey it. And then he prayed about the relation of the disciples to the world. And that's verse 9 through 16. Fred Craddock, one of our favorite preachers, retired now, but still preaching, semi-retired, I guess you could say. He says of the disciples' relations with the world, that they have not been corrupted. Jesus said that he didn't come in front of Craddock does. They have not been corrupted by the world, for they were not of the world. They have been called out of the world. Let's talk about preaching. And I've been blessed. But it's so tempting most every day to be corrupted by the world from what? And sometimes we want to say, well, we're only human. And we are only human. But we have been called out. Christian workers have been called not to be a part of the world. And one of the problems with the church, downfalls of the church, is that we say, oh, we're just human. We're just human. Oh, they're just human. They have not been corrupted by the world, for they were not of the world. They were in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be, all Christians, the salt of the world, but especially those in Christian ministry. We're supposed to be the salt of the world. That's the good place. We're supposed to be the light of the world, to dispel the darkness of sin. They were not corrupted by the world, but they were good. These guys were great. Now, they were not perfect, but they were great. They exemplified the spirit of Christ. But the world hated them. The world hated them. They were doing a good work. They were doing the work of God, but the world hated them. And I just went through the book of Acts, a portion of it. And see, after Jesus left, and they were carrying on the work. These disciples were carrying on the work. Now, we have to add the Apostle Paul that we find was a persecutor of the Christians, the disciples, and those who believe their message. But after he got converted, so I looked, and in chapter 4, we see chapter 4 of the book of Acts, how the world treated them badly. We see in chapter 5 the world treating them badly. We see in chapter 8 the world treating them badly, stoning Stephen to death because of his witness. We see in chapter 9 the Apostle Paul himself, who later became the apostle, or at this moment, somewhere in this process, but he was going out to arrest Christians because they were breaking the Jewish law. In chapter 14, Paul suffered because of his witness for Jesus. Chapter 15, he suffered. Chapter 16, 17, 18, and 19. They'd go to town and preach. The people would hate them because they were preaching the good news. Salvation through faith in Jesus. And they would run them out of town. To move on. He prayed then about the disciples being, another sermon within itself, sanctified, consecrated, set apart, or dedicated. Just as Jesus has sanctified himself, and I think Craddock said this, just as Jesus has sanctified himself in total dedication to God, or God sanctified him, set him apart, so were the apostles set apart consecrated to the truth. And then the role of the spouse. It's the same role that we have. The continuation of the mission that God had given you. To lead the world, all who would, to eternal life. Lord God, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for Jesus' concern for us. And we thank you, Lord, that he took care of these necessities before he left. We thank you, Lord, that when he came to be with you, that that place he is preparing or has prepared for us is waiting. And we thank you, Lord, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, that he sent back to work in our lives to reveal, to convict, convert, and consecrate us to you. And Lord, we pray right now for your Spirit to so move within us.